Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Panning the Stream.
Panning the Stream.
Really jumping the gun here. I thought we had a professional operation. My name is Dan Reichert.
I got excited. I'm so excited about Real Rob.
Interrupting over there. Well, we're all very excited about Real Rob, honey. That's Bianca Reichert over there. How are you doing, honey?
I'm really good.
Yeah?
Really, really good, yeah.
All right. It's because you just watched Real Rob, right?
Yeah, it's so much better than all the other Rob shows I've seen.
Well,
it's the realest.
I'm going to make you wait to talk about that for a second, because for the first time on Painting the Stream, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do here.
Oh.
It's exciting stuff.
Indeed.
So basically, we do Painting the Stream on something called Anchor.fm. They are the folks that distribute our podcast. They have been fantastic to work with. And what they're doing is they are launching a new program. It is called the Listener Support Program. If you are listening to this Real Rob episode right now, then it should be live right now. So what it should be basically is they wanted to find a way for people to support their favorite podcast on Anchor monetarily if they want to. And so they opened up a thing. So if you go to panningthestream.com, it should take you to our page where you have an option. I want to make that super clear here because all episodes of Panning the Stream are going to be free. We will continue to do this show for free every week for every one of you, no matter what. But Anchor asked us to be a part of this new program, and it's going to give people the opportunity, if you're enjoying the show and you want to support the time and the money that we have put into making this show available to you, you have the option to contribute to Panning the Stream directly. I believe it's three different levels of like $1, $5, or $10 a month, and it's very easy. They accept a lot of secure, like Apple Pay and Google Pay, things like that. Should be very easy to sign up. I have not seen it yet since we were recording this ahead of time, but Anchor has been amazing to work with, and I have no reason to think that this won't be a great program to help out us and other podcast creators on Anchor. So if you want to support Panning the Stream, feel free to throw us a little bit.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. This is not, we're not going Patreon only. We're not doing anything like that. We don't even have a Patreon. So if you want to throw in some stuff.
Just Dan and Bonk.
You
doing it
can.
Ourselves.
I'll be able to
DIY.
Afford. I'll be able to afford some
D-I-O.
More acoustic foam.
D-O.
Yes. What? D-O?
Doing it ourselves.
Doing
D-O.
Oh, they already have a thing.
Like the singer.
Oh.
Ride the tiger. You know Dio.
I do. I was confused for a second. I thought you were talking about Dido.
Oh.
What was Dido's thing? Dido was Stan.
Yeah, she had that song. Well, that was like...
With Eminem.
The chorus from that song, Thank You.
It's her same, I'm wondering why.
Yeah, she has a very morose way of singing.
What happened to her?
Wasn't she on like SNL? No, that was...
Probably at some point.
No, I'm thinking... I thought she was on SNL with Eminem, but it was that like... Not Sasha Gray. What's Gray?
That'd be weird.
What's
that? Oh, Skylar Gray.
Yeah, Skylar Gray.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Because I know of her because she did WrestleMania in San Francisco.
Yeah, I forgot how I became familiar with her. I think I heard her like cover some songs on Spotify or something, and then but I never listened to her original music or anything like that. But I mean, that's not Dido. I don't know why we're talking about Skylar Gray.
I didn't expect to talk about Skylar Gray
but
during
Skylar
our
Gray,
pitch.
I don't know if that's her real name, but that's a really cool name.
Yeah, it could be a stage name, but either way, even if it's a stage name, good on you for coming up with a good stage name.
Yeah, it's like cool, but not so ridiculous as to be unbelievable.
That could be a name for sure.
Now that we're talking about it, isn't it wild that Justin Bieber reached the heights of success that he's reached with the name Justin Bieber?
I respect that. I'm not a Justin Bieber fan, but hey, I like somebody that can just be true to their name and not have to jazz it up a bit for mainstream audiences, right?
Yeah, just like Rob Schneider.
That's a good segue. Rob Schneider's a bad name, and he's a bad comedian, and this is a bad show.
Schneider is a name. In North Carolina, our vacation house, we have these neighbors who have passed away, but the wife's name was Edwina, but we always called her Ed Wiener, and as a kid, I thought that's what her name was, because kids are dumb.
I like the idea of her name being Ed Wiener.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay,
Ed Wiener Schneider.
It's Ed Wiener.
Ed Wiener Schneider, yeah.
Yes.
That's all I got. I don't
who did
know
we have as a Wiener name in a previous Painting of the Stream? Lenny Wiener. Oh, was that Monsters?
Was yeah, that was Lenny Wiener. Yeah,
last week. Okay, yeah, Lenny Wiener. Yeah, the mailman from Holly's Room.
I sent an email to someone today at work, and obviously I won't say what the email was about or anything, but like the email format for the company was like first initial, last name. First initial was A. Mm-hmm. Last name was Wiener. So the email address is
Wiener.
It was just A Wiener.
That's really good.
And if like I included the like email like company name, it would be even funnier. But I'm not going to do that.
I remember Donald Glover was on Conan a few years ago, and he was talking about when he was first trying to like make a name for himself and everything. He like bought his
Who's
URL.
Donald Glover again?
Childish Gambino.
Oh, Childish Gambino.
Yeah, yeah, that's his rapper name. But mm-hmm. Donald Glover, I think, for most of his acting work. But he was on Conan. And he talked about like buying a URL for himself for his own personal webpage. He's like, well, I'll just get donglover.com. But then you just look at it at the URL and it's donglover.com.
What was that? I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but that wrestler that like you got into kind of a Twitter feud with, his like really.
I could say that. Adam of Reno Scum, which I want to clarify. He thought, so I'm not going to go into a whole wrestling thing here, but I was about to do a show for All Pro Wrestling in
you
California.
You were in kayfabe.
I was doing kayfabe tweeting, and I think he thought I was being for shoot.
Yes.
And because I was talking just, you know, big dickhead, you know, Twitter kayfabe
stuff. He worked himself into a shoot.
Well, he is a veteran pro wrestler, yeah. And so he's a genuine, tough dude, you know,
very,
respects the business.
A guy
you
would not want to get into a legitimate fight with. Very
no, he would
looking.
Murder me. He's huge.
Yeah.
But, like, also, you know me, and, like, I have nothing but respect
I don't
for the
know
business.
You.
Oh, that's true. I have nothing but respect for the business and the workers and what they go through. So, like, it was weird that, like, I was disrespecting him in kayfabe, and he thought I was, like, being serious with him,
yeah.
And I was just some outsider they were bringing in because
yeah.
I had a bunch of Twitter followers. And like while at the same time I have so much actual respect for him, but I'm trying to act like I think he's nothing.
I remember when that was happening and like you were concerned that he was legitimately mad at you, and I remember just the fear in your eyes that like when I go to the show on Saturday or whatever, like something might happen to me.
Yeah.
And then he just ended up being like the nicest guy.
Well, because you know I diffused it right away by I saw him backstage and I shook his hand and I was like, hey, man, I just hope you know all that stuff on Twitter.
Man, you are really something. I feel like a lesser person would just cower, like, behind a locker or something. Are there really lockers in the locker room? I don't know.
No, it's usually just, like, high school gymnasiums and community centers, and it's just, like, some classroom you're changing in.
But for you to just go right up to him and be like, let me nip this in the butt?
In the bud.
Bud.
Yeah.
I never get that right.
I just always feel like the best way to address something is just to get it out of the way and just throw it out there. And so I just went up to him. I shook his hand and I said, hey, man, I'm Dan. We talked on Twitter. I hope you didn't think that I was actually like mm-hmm. trying to give you shit. I was just trying to like build up something for the match. I have nothing but respect for you guys and what you do. And he just gave me a very heartfelt like, thank you, man. Thank you. And then later that night, he came back up to me again. He's like, thanks for coming up to me and talking to me earlier about
yeah.
that. Like, we're cool.
So we're missing the whole point, though, his Twitter handle.
Oh, yes. So he was half of the tag team Reno Scum, mm-hmm. Who I believe is – they might be on Impact Wrestling now, or they've been on Impact Wrestling at a point. And so tag team's name is Reno Scum, and his at handle was Rock Legend Scum. But on Twitter with an ad handle, it's just there's no space in between. So it's just Rock Legends Come. I'm not sure if that's still it. He may have changed it to like Adam Thornstone or whatever. But
wow, that's I just love that.
Yeah. But I me and him are on good terms. I haven't talked to him or seen him in a very long time, but we have worked together many times and he was.
Don't expose the business, Dan.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's a nothing but respect.
Yes.
So anyway, Rob Schneider.
No one's gone
from Reno Scum to Rob Schneider before. So Rob Schneider, let's talk a little bit about the man, the comedian, the SNL alum.
Let's do it.
Okay. So when was the first time you were ever aware of Rob Schneider?
I feel like Rob Schneider has been a part of my life since I was a wee girl.
That would make sense.
I feel like there's never a time that I have not known Rob Schneider. As I have been able to see with my eyes, I have known Rob Schneider.
So you grew up. You are younger than me, and so Rob Schneider was fairly well known, like, when you were born, mm-hmm. and I feel like I was, like, a young kid when he was starting to kind of hit his stride on SNL, so, like, you would have always known him as being a thing.
So, yeah, I remember him always being around, but it could be that the first time I saw him was in Waterboy, and, like, obviously
right.
that was, you know, I remember watching Waterboy, but the fact is that was probably like, what, like 20 fucking years ago?
Waterboy was probably what? I want to say it's between 98 and 2000. I remember The Big Show was in it.
So I was like, had to be 9 years old when I saw that. So yeah, most of my life, yeah.
And yeah, his whole thing in that is that you can do eat guy, which he actually references a couple times in Real Rob.
So I know him from that. I know him from the Deuce Bigelow's.
Right. Did you ever feel like he was like a movie star, or what was your perception of Rob Schneider?
I always thought of him as like the Tom Hardy of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, that Mad Max.
I mean, obviously he was like a, you know, comedic actor, seemed to be a character actor, not really a, I mean, obviously he had a leading role in Deuce Bigelow, but like he doesn't really strike me as a leading man type.
No. They tried for a while, like with any like SNL alum that had any level of fame and left for the greener pastures of Hollywood or whatever. He got work. I feel like most SNL people would, if you just had like a moderately successful character on SNL, I feel like you could at least get a few tries at movies.
See, I don't remember him from SNL at all. So, when was he on SNL?
So that's how I first knew of him, is in the early 90s. He was on, and he was on during a pretty great period of SNL. I mean, he was on alongside like Mike Myers and Dana Carvey and Chris Farley and Phil Hartman. You know, it was a really good time for SNL. But the only like recurring character I can remember of his is the Making Copies guy, which, are you familiar with that at all?
Mm-mm.
Like, it was actually honestly pretty funny. Like, the sketch would always be, like, at a boring office job or whatever, and he was the guy whose desk was next to the copy machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he sucked, and every time somebody came up to make copies, they had to, like, deal with him. It's like, oh, we gotta go over by the Making Copies guy. I don't remember if he had an actual name. So, like, let's say the guy's name was Steve that was going to make copies. He'd go up to the copy machine and Rob Schneider would be like, nah, Stevester, making copies. Hey, like just making lame jokes and stuff. And so it was a pretty funny thing. It's like the guy at the office that you have to deal with when you make copies, but he sucks.
I've heard of that, but I haven't seen it.
It was a very one-note character, but it was a funny concept.
Now, I should say, I allow myself to surrender to laughter when it overcomes me. I'm not going to stop myself from laughing just because, like, oh, if I go into Real Rob, like, not liking Rob Schneider, I'm not going to, like, purposely not laugh. If something makes me laugh, I ride that train because it brings me joy. Laughter,
yes.
Laughter, they say, is the best medicine.
Of course.
I don't know if that's true. Doctors, I don't know if it's true. So please write in if that's wrong. But I it makes me feel good. It warms my soul. I feel like it's contagious. I feel like when I start laughing, you at least do a little courtesy chuckle.
Sure.
So yeah, that's all to say that like I didn't go into this trying to be super negative.
I don't think we ever do that. I don't think, like, I think we go into things assuming that like, hey, this is gonna suck, or hey, we might actually like this. But even if we go into something thinking it's gonna suck, if something is actually funny, we'll laugh at it. We're not just trying to be like cynical assholes about
everything. No.
So that said, this is Real Rob's, or sorry, this is Rob Schneider's show called Real Rob. It is on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. And it definitely seems like he is trying to do it's like he saw Curb Your Enthusiasm and he saw, oh, okay, well, it's Larry David, this guy who works in comedy, and he's just kind of like doing a wacky version of his real life here. And then also he saw Louis on FX and saw the like interstitial, like, you know, stand up in front of a brick wall things and was like, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do a like TV version of my wacky life in LA with my family. And that's what Real Rob is. He is trying to be those shows, but both of those shows are several orders of magnitude better than Real Rob. But I hope I didn't cut you off.
What are you talking about? Louis is a terrible show. You can't say anything about Louis.
That show was all right.
It's a terrible show.
Yeah.
No, I really like that show.
It was a good show.
I thought the last season was really weird.
That show was very hit or miss. There would be episodes that like the Iraq episodes and stuff I thought were incredible.
I remember, like, the one episode when like his daughter's friend like shit in the bathtub or something.
Yeah.
I remember that being really. There was some really funny stuff.
No, there was great stuff in that show. Yeah, for sure. But anyway, did I cut you off earlier? You were saying that,
I have
that
no
we're
fucking
not going
to.
Okay, just want to make sure. So anyway. Rob Schneider is the director and writer of Real Rob, and also he has brought in his wife, Patricia to star as his wife, Patricia. Which, that's a step beyond Larry David. Cheryl Hines was not his real wife, so Rob Schneider, he's giving you the real deal here.
Yeah.
He even brought in his real, like, infant daughter, Miranda?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, Miranda. Yeah. So it's his real wife, it's his real daughter, and you can tell it's his real wife, I've not looked into her. She did not have a Wikipedia page, so I was not able to see, like, a filmography or anything.
Let me just say, when Patricia made her appearance on this show, I just had to roll my eyes so fucking hard. Because, like, this woman is just drop-dead gorgeous. Like, unbelievably gorgeous. I mean, Rob Schneider, listen.
Heartthrob.
He's, you know.
He's Rob Schneider.
He's an average-looking guy, you know. But obviously, there's that huge gap there that only immense wealth can bridge, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, immense wealth, like, I think modicum of fame is maybe the more accurate thing here. Because when we think about it, he had SNL. And then he went on and he did Deuce Bigelow. He did The Hot Chick. He did The Animal. Like, those were his, like, starring roles.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw Deuce Bigelow and The Animal in theaters. And these movies did not do well. They were not good.
Let's give Rob Schneider some credit. I mean, I feel like if you, you know, nurture the wealth that you have when you're in your prime, I feel like that could carry you a long way. And they seem to be, I assume that's their actual home that they have.
I don't know. Like, maybe. Like, I don't know what the cost of living is in L.A. I don't know what Rob Schneider's finances are or family history, but, like,
I feel like the show is very much kind of like a homemade show. It feels, like, very personal. It really does. It feels like, you know, it's his real friend. It's his real wife, his real kid. It's his real house. I mean, he's famous enough. I mean, she does stand-up. He's very popular.
Yeah, I bet he could actually get a decent
amount. He's very popular on the internet.
From name recognition, I bet he could get a pretty good asking price from... Yeah. Also, you talk about it being like a homemade show. Yes, it definitely seems like Rob Schneider wrote all of the dialogue in the show.
Oh, yeah,
specifically, like, anytime his wife is talking, this is clearly some 54-year-old C-rate comic, Rob Schneider, writing dialogue for his own wife. It is...
Right.
Atrocious dialogue with not great delivery at all. It is a combination that is just
something to see. One of the things that I noticed about this show is that it feels like every character in the show is Rob Schneider. Like, they don't have their own unique voice. It's all just Rob Schneider dialogue in Patricia's body, in the assistant's body, I forget his name. It's just, everyone's him in the show. Like, no one has their unique... unique voice. Character trait. Yeah, unique voice.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, right out of the gate, we establish Rob Schneider as the most unlikable fucking character you could possibly imagine. So the very first scene is him in bed with his wife, and, like, it's not clear. Like, at first it seems like they're about to have sex, but then it's like she's just kind of rolling over and not interested. Mm-hmm. And he's just begging her to, like, grab her boobs.
He's begging her to allow him to
grab
her.
Yes, yes.
He's not asking. It's not like... you asking me, Bianca, please grab your boobs.
As I do every hour on the hour, and I have since the moment I met you. But no, he wants to grab her boobs.
Yeah.
And at this point, it does not seem like they are about to have sex or anything like that.
He just wants to honk
and, like, just do that. And, this dialogue is so bad. It's literally the first scene of the entire show. And he's like, okay, one of the first lines is he goes, I can't touch your boobs? That sucks. All right, that's great, because mm-hmm. she's worried that there is bacteria from his balls, so he scratches his balls all the time.
So she says, like, oh, you have bacteria on your hands, and that'll get into my nipple, and I guess she's breastfeeding the baby. I don't know if that's a thing that happens. I don't fucking know. I don't know, like, if... I've never had a kid, so I don't know if when you're breastfeeding, like, a big hole appear. I don't know.
Milk, like, comes out of something. There's got to be a hole.
Cell's tail-esque hole just opens up on my chin. There's
like a Dragon Ball reference in a real Rob episode. Great. We're not doctors. Shoots.
No, yeah, we're not. Again, like I mentioned it earlier about the laughter thing. I'm not a doctor. I have absolutely no qualifications or skills whatsoever. But anyway, so her concern is because he touches his phone, he touches his face, he touches his balls, and all that bacteria would, I guess, seep into her breast and then go into her baby. But her baby came from his balls. I mean...
Yeah, which there's a whole thing at some point. I don't even think I'd made a note of this because it was just dumb and weird, but... talking about his old semen and everything, like, oh, if our baby is born dumb.
She makes frequent reference to his old semen.
Yeah, which means he is just constantly writing dialogue for her about his semen, and, like, none of it seems to make any sense or is particularly funny.
Isn't semen a funny word for what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that's, like, the case. Like, does your semen get old, or are you making new semen all the time? Like, can your semen get old? Is that a thing that happens? Are they floating around until, like, every time you come, they...
I think they're in the on-deck circle.
They're in the on-deck circle, and then... So there's constantly new guys coming up.
I think there's new fellas.
There's new men.
Yeah, there's new men in the semen, yeah.
So what the fuck is she talking about, old semen?
I think this might not be medically sound, this scene here, from the very first episode. I love how we're 20 minutes into this. How are we 20 minutes into Real Rob? And we're not to the first title sequence.
It's abundantly clear that we're not going to hit on every plot point.
No, there's not a whole lot.
But frankly, there isn't much there to begin
with. No. So we'll move on here. So she doesn't want him to touch boobs because the bacteria from his balls. And then the daughter starts crying off screen.
Dan, you're getting into the minutiae. We got to keep moving. We got to keep this train moving.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to say, okay, I want to give several examples right off the bat of him being so unlikable.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's just like begging her to grab a boob outside of the context of sex. The daughter's crying, and he says to let the daughter cry so they can do their business or whatever. The wife leaves, and he just scratches his balls.
Yeah.
And then we start getting the sense that Rob Schneider thinks that, like, if this is him writing the real world version, air quotes, of Rob Schneider, he thinks he's a much bigger star than he is. Because it's like these scenes about, like, fans approaching him at airports with, like, burnt copies of Deuce Bigelow, stalkers at his home in L.A. Like, Rob Schneider has fucking stalkers. You know, he's fielding all these calls from agents. He's like, oh, sorry, honey, I got 5 missed calls
here. Well, hey, wait a minute. I don't think it's that unbelievable that Rob Schneider could have a stalker.
I mean, you can't really apply logic to stalkers. I mean, you don't have to be an actual star for that. But
yeah.
But I mean, you get the sense through a sequence of scenes that he is trying to paint himself as like, I'm Hollywood star Rob Schneider, relevant in 2018, which he was barely relevant in like 1996.
I Googled Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
And in certain circles, he is extremely relevant.
What circles?
I don't want to get it.
Oh, not entertainment industry
not entertainment
circles.
Industry weird, circles, but like as an internet person,
as an internet man with opinions,
maybe he bears more influence than we are aware of. But as far as we're concerned, just knowing him from TV and movies,
yeah,
it seems like you know he's a guy who had his time, was doing the stand up rounds, and I get what you're saying. I agree, but then again, it's like that's the fodder for most of the plot points here. I mean,
yeah, but like
the stalker, the tea deal, we'll get into that.
But the thing is, okay, look at shows like Arrested Development, who met an untimely end on Fox because mainstream audiences could not relate to the family because they were this rich family, they were weird. Like, who is the audience, who's the demographic for Real Rob here? Who is supposed to relate to the Rob Schneider?
I don't buy that the audiences can relate. I mean, like, there's so many shows about super wealthy families. Like, fucking Dynasty from however long, like 20, 30 years ago?
That's true.
Like so many shows like that. I think it was just that show was too self-referential, too smart for people to appreciate.
Yeah, but I mean, they even referenced it on season 3 of the show about how, like, you know, oh, they can't relate to us, you know, we're too rich or whatever. Like, that was a given thing.
That's so weird.
That was talked about.
But Rob Schneider is so fucking unrelatable and unlikable, because he's, like, he's trying to be funny, but, like, he's fucking getting these green juices all the time, like, organic green juices with an extra shot of ginger. Like, he's such the pretentious, rich, white guy stereotype. The hot, like, obscenely hot wife. You know, he has a personal assistant who he apparently thinks is incompetent. But why does he even need a personal assistant?
Right.
I mean, like, honestly, like, all the things he's doing in the show seems like having the personal assistant is more work than actually just doing what he needs to do.
The thing, he writes this assistant, Jamie is the assistant's name, as, like, constantly having to run around town and field all these things from agents and everything. And, like, that cannot be Rob Schneider, and that cannot be real Rob Schneider in 2018. But, oh, my fucking God. So, okay, let's get into the plot here. So Patricia puts a stripper pole in the baby's room, and she wants to do, like, exercise stuff. Rob Schneider has an issue with it. Then the cut to them having dinner. He drops sushi. This is all stuff that doesn't matter at all. He has to sleep on the couch because he eats sushi off his shoe. This is when we get the first, like, cut to, like, the Louis, the brick wall thing, which his stand-up is not good.
He had one funny line. We'll get to that later.
Okay. Which, by the way, I want to say Rob Schneider is, like, a sub-David Spade level of post-SNL career. David Spade, well, granted, most of his big movies in stardom came from being with Chris Farley, and Chris Farley being just the supernova of comedy that he was. David Spade had an actual career. He came from kind of the same era of SNL as Rob Schneider, but he was in successful movies, even like the stuff he did, like Joe Dirt or Just Shoot Me or whatever. Like, you know, it may not be the pinnacle of comedy, but like to say that somebody is a sub David Spade level, I think it's accurate and sad in the way of Rob Schneider. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's accurate. As far as we're concerned, it's accurate.
So at one point here, he thinks his, oh God, they need to break into their clothes closet, which has an electric lock on it.
Why does their clothes closet in their bedroom have an electric lock on it? That is battery powered.
I have no fucking idea, but the battery dies and they can't get in. And we get this hilarious joke of a like, oh, honey, you could break into this because you're Mexican. That's the whole joke, basically.
That's a stereotype of Mexicans, that they can break into things?
I think the joke, like, oh, you could break into this thing, and I it's a bad joke. And that's that whole scene. And then there's this book signing, which I thought was hilarious, because, like, it shows him, like, there's some book called Real Rob, you know, it's obviously some fictional book, that he's doing a book signing for, and there's this huge line of fans, and he's like, 20-year-old girls that are like, A, buying Rob Schneider autobiographies, and B, waiting in line to have Rob Schneider sign them, which has never happened once in history. But anyway, so like the stalker guy, he fires his assistant Jamie because he thinks he sucks.
My ex-boyfriend's friend apparently gave Rob Schneider a blowjob. So there are some young women out there that...
the modicum of fame will go far, I think.
Honestly, yeah. For some people, like, that's all it takes.
Oh, just to say, like, oh, I blew the You Can Do Eat guy?
I guess. Maybe he has some charm? I mean...
I don't know. Have you seen the show?
Yeah, but look at his wife. He's got to be doing something, right?
I mean, modicum of fame.
Yeah.
Modicum of fame.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you can speak to that. That's the only reason I'm with you.
That's why you married me. My modicum.
Your modicum.
I may sub Rob Schneider level of fame, if that means anything. Like, we're giving him shit here, but like, I bet he's got more Twitter followers than me.
Oh, hundreds of thousands of more. Probably. No, like, yeah. Not probably. Like, he has 700,000 more.
Are you
Twitter
serious?
Followers
he has 700. There we go. And as we all know, that is the absolute currency for whether someone is a good and worthwhile human being.
Honestly,
many...
yes.
Yeah,
it
all
seems
right.
That
so
way.
I'm 1/7 of a Rob Schneider.
You automatically become important if you have that many followers.
All right. Well, Rob Schneider, important man. Real Rob has decided to fire his, not attorney, his assistant, Jamie, and he's hired his stalker. So the stalker we referred to earlier is now the guy who's driving him around to all this stuff. And... It's shitty because, like, he likes the stalker now because he's like, oh, he's, like, the best assistant ever. He knows everything about me and all this stuff. But he's, like, kicking in the stalker's car's door after the stalker is like, oh, this car is, like, my grandmother gave it to me. And mm-hmm. It's, like, it's the most valued thing I have. And, like, he can't shut the door right. And he's just, like, repeatedly kicking it over and over and over again. Not out of spite, but out of – it's a dumb scene. It doesn't really, like, work at all. Anyway, he gets home. And there's a bunch of male strippers in the house. And so Patricia wants to, like, manage a strip club for women. Like, four women starring men.
Yeah, and she's doing something at the kitchen table. And then, like, the guys are all just standing around doing stuff. I don't know what. But then she tells them they can break. So they were doing something that relates to work.
Yeah. Let's take five. They say while they're just standing there doing nothing. So, a bunch of bullshit happens that doesn't matter, and then there's this, like, really long stand-up joke about security systems, and, like, it doesn't go anywhere, but I remember just watching this whole joke and being like, alright, what's the punchline? He's building up to this thing, and
his
just...
punchline is, I'm gonna send you to the moon kind of joke. Like, it was all just like, oh, I'm the only person that wants to kill you is in this house.
Oh, that's right, yeah, who are you trying to lock out?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, wives are so annoying.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. We're constantly at each other's throats. It's just a very long build up to a nothing finish to that joke. So anyway, the end of episode one, the pilot, is that she hired a nanny, and he turns out to be one of the male dancers.
Right. And while they were talking about, like, her hiring him, they were, like, laying in bed together, and she was like, "Oh, I hired him," but they were like, "We really need a nanny." But what does she do? Like, she just is at home all the time, right? She doesn't work. Like, she's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, they never...
And by all accounts, Rob Schneider seems to be doing nothing most of the time, too.
That's a good point.
Like, why do they really need a nanny? Like, I'm not saying raising a child is easy. I have no fucking clue because I never did it. But I know my mom raised three kids, well, with my dad, too. Raised three kids, worked full-time. Like, worked more than full-time. And managed to do that without a nanny. Like, why do you need...
Were to guess, it's because Rob Schneider wants to write himself as... important in-demand Hollywood man Rob Schneider, who needs assistants and nannies and stuff, when in reality, like, I bet he's got a lot of time to be at home.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of people just don't want to deal with, like, the bullshit of having a kid, like the changing and the, you know, feeding and the tending to when they're crying and, you know, all the, yeah. the main stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of episode one. It sucked. It was bad. But then we move into episode two, which is the penis episode.
Remember how we were feeling at the end of episode one? Like, oh. being on the, like, having two full episodes on the horizon. I remember yes. looking at you. I remember thinking to myself, this might be the first time in Panning the Stream history where we were, like, going to have to throw in the towel or something.
Well, there were times.
We are never going to do that, but I felt it in my heart for a second.
If we announce that we're going to do a thing for the next show, we're going to fucking watch the whole thing. You don't have to, you folks at home. But we will watch the goddamn thing and we'll talk about it. Yeah. And actually, I kind of hope you didn't watch these episodes. I hope that you're just hearing vicariously through us, because we did watch the entirety of this. And you're right. After the first episode, it's like, oh my God, we have to watch.
We got past the pilot and we're entering the penis episode number one territory or part one.
Yeah, which I've got less notes for this one because I think I realized after one episode that, like, none of the shit that happens in the show matters.
Can I just dissect this first scene?
Please do.
So they're in bed.
Yes.
And Rob Schneider is reading a book, and Patricia is eating potato chips. And Rob Schneider says, you shouldn't eat the potato chips because they have corn in them.
Right.
Which potato chips don't.
Do they not? Is it gluten? Is gluten corn? Gluten's bread.
Oh, man.
Gluten's bread. I know that. I said that right.
Potato chips.
Oh, they're potatoes.
Are potatoes.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I didn't think about that.
There's no gluten in them.
I don't know a lot of things about a lot of things. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That makes sense, though, that... I don't know. Look, maybe there's some corn ingredients. Look, we don't have all the medical knowledge that Rob Schneider has.
That's true.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah, he's saying that, oh, it has corn in it, so it'll make the baby sick. He just seems to be trying to get her to stop eating the chips. Just let your fucking wife eat chips, goddammit.
Yeah.
Mother of your children. Why are you resistant to this? She clearly takes good care of herself. She fucking squeezed a giant fucking baby out of her vagina. Let her eat a fucking chip. Jesus fucking Christ. You're lucky to even be associated with this goddess of a woman. And you have a problem with her eating. Do you realize you're fucking Rob Schneider and you're married to Patricia? Are you serious, dude?
You're a fucking global joke, Rob Schneider.
Oh my gosh. She's a goddess. Jesus Christ, dude. Let her eat a fucking chip. Holy crap. Anyway.
Oh, so that sucks. And then we get another title screen. So the penis episode one has started.
Oh, have we addressed the weird, like, in-between scene kind of transitions?
Oh, no. Let's touch on that.
Yeah. So they're really, really annoying. It seems to be something that was, like, created with a, like, free scene transition template.
Yeah. It feels like... Okay, so you know how Curb has its very iconic, yeah. Yeah, like the kind of in-between transitional stuff. Like Curb does that so well.
That was just a mess what we just did.
We just made a bunch of weird horn sounds.
We're both doing two different things.
You get it. You've seen Curb Your Enthusiasm, folks. But, like, that does it so well. And yeah. It is so tied to the feeling of that show.
Well, also, it just has this that little horn song, and then it goes to the next scene. There's no, like, scenes of traffic.
Yeah.
Like, L.A. traffic, L.A. streets. I feel like that's... so played out. Like, yeah, I feel like you don't really see
it. It doesn't matter.
We're nitpicking here. There's so many better things to talk about with this fucking show.
Yeah. So, yeah, the transitions are bad and it's all like fast motion with like.
And there's
the
like,
music.
There's always a woman like. It
almost reminds me of, real quick, last week when we did Monsters and they did that random thing during the Holly's House episode where it was just that one quick transition of like New York City streets with the weird music. It's like, what was that? But they do it all the time here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. The nanny, one of the male dancers, is doing, like, you know, spandex stretching directly in front of the baby, which is such a running joke with all these dancers. It's like, oh, they're these guys in the skin-tight spandex doing, like, penis stretches or whatever, like, just stretching their pelvises out or whatever.
Right, and he was doing it on the kitchen counter.
Yes, and so Rob wants to fire him. And then we cut to his assistant, who is in a car with his girlfriend. So Jamie's the assistant. Jamie's girlfriend is in the car with him, and she works at a weed dispensary, so they live in California. And she's getting high before work. She talks about, like, hey, I work at a dispensary. I got to be able to review this stuff and tell people if it's any good or whatever.
I feel like all the different types of pot I've ever had, I've, like, never been able to tell the nuances of it. It's always just like, oh, I'm high now.
Yeah, yep. All right, I got high. That worked, I guess.
Sometimes I'm more likely to just want to sleep, but I always just get high. Like, I never...
Yeah, weed's weed. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm sure there's medical stuff where certain stuff does different stuff, but you just get high.
Yeah.
Turns out. So she says something about how, like, so Jamie, the assistant, is on the phone with Rob Schneider. And she says something like, oh, yeah, are you sucking off your boss or whatever? And then it's this extremely long scene that it's obvious they think is way, or when I say they, Rob Schneider, producer, director, writer, star of the show, thinks is way funnier than it is, which I'm fine with a just dumb extended, like, I like the fucking celery scene in MacGruber. That's the dumbest fucking butt joke thing in the world. But it's just her sitting in the passenger seat of this car mimicking a blowjob and, like, tickling the balls and stuff for so
I thought
long.
It was. I thought she was impersonating licking the asshole. Was it a blow? I thought
oh,
it was,
that's
I feel
right.
Like a blowjob is more. It's easy to mimic
you're
a blowjob.
Right,
I feel
right.
Like you could see her like spreading the phantom cheeks.
Yes, you're 100% right. The best phantom blowjob ever. Have you ever seen the GIF of Shawn Michaels in about 1997, like doing the tickling the balls and blowing? Like it's the most perfect like mimicking a blowjob thing ever.
Is it the most perfect mimicking of a blowjob you've ever seen?
It's very funny, and it was very 1997 Shawn Michaels. It was very, very good.
Okay. Yes. I like this idea that you have like a ranking of the blowjob mimicking.
If you're willing to pull up the binder, I can pull it up later. Okay. Like there's a whole list and everything. But yeah, Shawn Michaels is number one. So
don't know what a potato chip is, but he's got a fucking binder of gifts.
You're correct. She's mimicking licking an asshole to Rob Schneider.
For such a long time.
A very long time. I feel like she might have transitioned to a blowjob mimic at some point. I'm not sure. But it goes on for like, it feels like 5 fucking minutes and it never becomes funny. So anyway, Patricia wants Rob to get a vasectomy because they've had one kid. They don't want another. Rob wants another, but Patricia is done. And so at one point it cuts to Rob Schneider holding the baby and this joke. Like, this whole scene is just for this joke, which is terrible. He just goes, like, she's, like, rubbing his chin.
The baby
is. Yeah, yeah. And he goes to the baby. He's like, oh, yeah, daddy doesn't have a beard. Mommy doesn't either. On her face. Which, the whole joke is, like, she's got hair on her pussy?
That's hilarious, Dan. Of course that's the whole joke. That's all you need. That's
scene.
Comedy gold, man.
That's the whole
hair
scene.
On a pussy? That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you know, a beard. A vagina beard. That's the whole joke.
We're skipping over the one thing in these episodes that I actually like laughed really hard at. And that was when they cut to a stand up and he was talking about like guys who are in like boner pill ads.
Oh right.
Like he was talking about people who are in these ads getting recognized on the street and like people saying like, "Oh, you were that guy in that ad." And the guy being like, "Oh yeah, but it's just ad." And then the person being like, "Yeah, but if everyone, they chose you, there's something about your face that just screams, there's something wrong with my dick." And that got me laughing really hard.
All right. That's all right.
Like, just the idea that there's a certain type of face that
this
just...
This is my dick doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just... That's... Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen faces like that.
Yeah, yeah. The angriest person I've ever met in my life was this guy, Tony, in freshman year of college in the dorms. And he was just
of
furious.
Of course his name was Tony.
Yeah. He was furious about everything. He was this little guy who was like 5 foot something. And we just thought it was like a Napoleon complex thing or whatever. And he was just furious all the time. Like you would try to say hi to him. I tried to be nice to him all the time in the hallways. And he'd just be the biggest fucking asshole.
Interesting.
Like always like puffing his chest out and like acting like he was, you know, hot shit. And then our friend Naomi, one night, as you know, we're old dumbass drunk 18-year-olds in college. She slept with him. And she reported to everyone that he had the smallest penis that she had ever even heard about in her
life.
Wow. And that kind of explained a whole lot.
You know what the smallest penis I've ever seen is?
What's that?
You know Gigi Allen?
Oh, yeah. He had a... Yeah, yeah.
And he was very just open about it.
Oh, he was pretty open about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Like, yes. He would, like, shit and, like, throw it on people and, like, fuck people right in the audience and
he
cut
was not
his... arms open and you had this fucking little itty bitty razor sized dick and it was just madness.
He was not a shy man, that Gigi Allen. God, we got off track.
What was his music? What was his band, Gigi Allen?
Gigi Allen, it was just like crazy weird anarchy punk
stuff.
Just
like grunt,
he would do like some Warren Zevon covers and stuff. I remember like that might have been how I learned of him, is because he did a famous cover of Carmelita. But yeah, he did a lot of like punk type stuff and everything.
Okay.
But yeah, he was a character for sure. He is dead. So anyway, we got the vagina beard thing, which I want to clarify. I don't think most of these jokes are bad because I'm like offended by them. I just think they're really stupid jokes.
Yeah.
Like,
I have no problem with someone making fun of vagina hair.
Yeah, if you have a good joke about vagina hair,
let's lay it on me.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I mean, I gotta say, I laughed really hard at that dick face joke.
But this is a lazy, but yeah, stupid vagina just hair joke. So anyway, Rob Schneider, you wouldn't believe it, Googles some medical advice and really is barking up the wrong tree here. He hears about some, like, vasectomies causing dementia. And so he wants to meet up with a friend who had a vasectomy to talk to them about it. And this is when my heart broke. He shows up to meet with his friend who had a vasectomy.
This is when, everyone, this is when Dan's heart broke.
It's when my heart broke. He walks into a diner or something, and who is his friend that's sitting there? Is the funniest man that's ever lived, Norm MacDonald. Which, if we're talking, look, I'm going to be honest here about Norm. I was giving Rob Schneider shit for being a sub David Spade level SNL alum. And if we are talking strictly about success, mainstream success post SNL, I'm going to be honest, Norm is sub Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider was the leading man of several movies. Norm had Dirty Work, which did not do very well.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had Screwed, which...
I remember that movie.
It was Norm and Dave Chappelle and Danny DeVito, and that should have been
way funnier. Were they thieves in that movie, or was that Dirty Work?
I think so. They were schemers. Well, Dirty Work, they were revenge for hire. But I honestly don't think any celebrity has made me laugh more in my life than Norm MacDonald. If anyone's ever heard me or my dad talk on anything ever, you know this. And so the second I saw Norm on this atrocity of a show, my heart sank. And I was like, oh, Norm. Oh, Norm, you're better than this. I know he's not famous, successful.
But you could tell the delivery of his lines. Like, he was doing a favor for his friend. He didn't write any of that.
And Norm doesn't give a shit.
And Dan, I don't know if you noticed this, but it seemed to me like those two guys were not in the same room at all when that scene was shot. Because they were never in the frame together. And there was such an unnatural flow to the conversation. And I know Norm has, like, a really weird way of talking sometimes.
Yes.
But this was exceptionally so, to the point where you could tell he was literally just reading lines.
Oh, you've seen enough of Norm's show, the Norm MacDonald Live, where it's, like, what his normal cadence is.
Yes.
And this felt like Rob Schneider writing Norm lines for Norm.
Right.
Which Norm also has a ton of makeup on. And it looks, like, actual Norm always looks so disheveled and old and is talking about his fat fucking face and all that. Like, this seems like somebody on a set wanted to put makeup on him and, like, do his hair up and dye it and everything. It's fucking weird. But, yeah, he was doing a favor. Norm doesn't give a shit. If you want any evidence of that, just look up his thing on the YouTube Red Carpet Show. But he's friends with Rob Schneider. I remember he was in The Animal. I think, yeah, he was in Deuce Bigelow. He's done favors for Schneider several times in the past. So he's in this. His whole role is, like, the friend who had a vasectomy, and he scares Rob Schneider, saying, like, oh, they don't knock you out or anything. Like, it's terrible. It's pain. They cut into your balls, all this stuff. Cut back to Jamie, the assistant, and the dispensary girlfriend.
I don't understand, like, a non-married man having a vasectomy. Because it's like, if you're having sex with random people, you're going to want to use protection.
Well, they never explained that with Norm, but also there is a Norm discrepancy because later on they say a thing about, like, oh, Norm didn't give you a ride home. But anyone who knows Norm
I'm
knows that he doesn't
generally,
drive.
I'm just talking generally about vasectomies.
Yeah.
Like, I would think, like, if you're a single guy getting a vasectomy, maybe it's because you just know you never want to have a kid. But I feel like you would have to use a condom anyway if you're just sleeping around with
For safety's sake. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe I have two... idyllic a view on things.
Condoms are smart. I don't know if we're psychoanalyzing Norm and his sexual behavior, or just men in general, or...
I don't know. I wanted to go down a road that, like, was going to deviate away from there, but, like, I couldn't really find... I don't know where to go from there, so we could just move on.
All right, sure.
I mean, I guess, yeah, condoms are good. They're funny.
They're funny.
Yeah, I feel like my favorite... One of the things that always gets me in, like, a TV show is when, like, two people are about to get it on, and, like, the guy's got to take out a condom, but he's really nervous, and he fucks it up, and by the time he gets it out, like, they can't have sex because he's, like, not hard
anymore.
Oh, that's
the Seinfeld thing. Yeah, that George.
I love that. Oh, yeah. It's happened with George. Yeah, George.
Yeah,
George
yeah.
Had
it's the thing where it's like the window where you have to get it on. Yeah, of
There's
course.
A window,
yeah, condom humor is great.
I think condom humor is great.
So anyway, we go to assistant Jamie, who goes into the dispensary to talk to his girlfriend, and so she's in there and she's just blowing her coworker, who works at the weed store.
Listen, Dan, weed makes you do crazy things.
You know, weed.
Yeah, it doesn't make you just sit on the couch and watch movies and eat
and
cereal.
Enjoy music and
it makes you give blowjobs to everyone.
Yeah, yeah, you know, drugs.
It's dangerous.
Right? Yeah, I've seen Reefer Madness. So he walks in and yeah, she's blowing this guy. And then she, like, kisses him on the cheek when he comes in.
Oh, it's they like, give oh. each other, like, a lot of kisses. Like, I get the joke there. Like, oh, she was just blowing this guy, and now she's right. overdoing it with the kisses.
And he even says the thing, like, oh, your breath smells like cock. And it's like, yeah, great joke. Anyway, she convinces him to take a hit of a strain called instant brain death. And I guess, like, he just totally forgets about the blowjob he just witnessed. And he's like, all right, I'll take this weed thing or whatever.
I think Jamie is a little aloof.
Yes. And so he smokes the stuff that's basically the weed equivalent of the Men in Black thing that just wipes your brain. And that's around the time somehow that Rob gets the idea of like, oh, I'm going to have Jamie get a vasectomy. Because I think he realizes Jamie's high and he's not remembering anything. So like, okay.
But Dan, let me ask you this. Let me posit this question to you. If you were high and someone brought up the prospect of having a surgery, that would freak you the fuck out. There's no way in hell you would go through with that.
No.
And yet, this show is making it out to be like, oh, this person's high, so they're very susceptible to getting...
I'll do anything.
A surgery? A ball surgery?
Yeah. No.
Like, listen.
When you're
listen,
high...
Listen, Dan, I don't have balls. But I imagine, like, that's probably the last thing someone wants to do, especially when they're fucking high.
Balls are the most, like, blinking red boss weak point part of a man's body.
I feel
and
like...
you don't ever want anything to happen to them.
I feel like if you were high and I flicked your balls... For the next, like, several hours, you would just be freaking out that I was going to flick your balls again.
Do you remember how I acted when I saw Cesaro's teeth get knocked up when I was high?
Oh my gosh. Because I know you're weird about teeth stuff when
yeah.
you're high. Like, Dan gets this thing where he's worried that he's going to, like, chew through his teeth or, like, crush his teeth with his teeth.
Or clank my teeth. Together. I got some teeth shit.
And then, so we were watching some pay-per-view. The pay-per-view when Cesaro's teeth, like, got jammed. And now, they didn't fall off. They got jammed into
horrifying.
His gums.
And there was super slow-mo close-ups.
Like, whenever we're high, I'm always worried that Dan's going to get too high because, you know, he has anxiety and stuff, but... when this happened, I was like, no, this is the worst thing that could happen. Because I know Dan is just... I looked over and Dan looked totally normal. I mean, aside from being high. But I knew in his mind it was just like a fucking... just parade of that image over and over again. Just I knew all you could think of was your teeth at that
moment. I was thinking about how that would feel if I was Cesaro at the time.
You were probably worried that it was going to happen to you.
I don't think even at the moment that I thought that it would happen to me, I was just so fixated on like how, like, oh my God, that's my absolute nightmare. Because they cut to the thing, so he gets fucking like slingshotted into the turnbuckle and he overshoots it and he hits the fucking post behind it mm-hmm. with his teeth. And then he turned, like, the replay, he turns around in slow-mo, which is a full-on close-up of Cesaro with his hands up to his mouth, but not covering his mouth. You can see his teeth just fine.
No, yeah.
Going, and his teeth are just, like, way up in his gums.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It was a fucking nightmare. And I spent, like... an hour or two just thinking about how that would feel.
It's so funny. Like, you and I know each other so well that whenever something happens that, like, if something happens that we're watching that you know might set me off, like, I know you're worried, and it's the same thing with me. Like, if I see a tooth thing happen, I know you're freaking out. And that was just... So anyway, this is all to say that, like, it's ridiculous to kind of suggest that this guy would be super willing to get the surgery. Not that he was super willing, but even slightly... even willing to go there.
When you're high, you overthink things. You don't think, I'll do whatever.
Yeah. It's. I mean, when you're high on pot, at least.
Yes. So that's the end of episode 2. Listen, we have a third episode here. I'm going to lightning round this one, okay? Because we've spent like 50 fucking minutes talking about real Rob. I'm going to lightning round this one. If you got anything you want to bring up, feel free to interrupt me, but I'm going to kind of speed through this.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. The penis episode part 2. Rob's agent wants Rob to do a commercial for a prostate drug, and he doesn't want to do it. He's worried about his image, and so he goes to a Taiwanese tea ad that will only air in Taiwan and parts of China, as far as he thinks, that is about, like, it's called Viagra Boba.
And they're having a press conference for this tea?
Yeah, it's a boner tea press conference announcing that Rob Schneider is the guy for it, and he pays him in, like, a bag full of, like, $100 cash bills, which I actually thought was funny if it was intentional, because it was like the old Simpsons thing where, like, Mayor Quimby would pay off Chief Wiggum with, like, a fucking dollar sign bag, and it's like the most obvious way ever. If that was intentional, that's a good gag. I like that, but I also don't know if that's intentional here. So he gets paid, and then he drinks the boner tea because he doesn't think there's anything in it, but then he gets a boner, And nothing really happened. He's just worried. He's constantly putting stuff over his crotch because he's worried he's going to have a boner in front of everyone.
No, he has a boner. He says, like...
Right, he's trying to cover it up. Yeah,
he's trying to cover up his boner.
Yeah, and then he finds out that there's this billboard on Sunset Boulevard that has a big thing of like, hey, my dick doesn't work. I'm Rob Schneider. And so he freaks out about that. He takes his kid to a class with other parents, and the kid throws up on a lady. Whatever, fucking nothing happens.
Wait,
there.
No, something happens. The baby throws up on her tits, and then Rob Schneider goes with his bare hand and just smushes the vomit around on her boobs, like smushes it into her boobs.
Yes, it's gross.
It's really gross, on many levels.
I mean, there can be gross humor for sure, but like it wasn't even necessarily funny. It was just like, ah, that seems gross.
Yeah, that's because it's not an efficient way of cleaning anything.
Yeah. Listen. And so he wants the billboard covered up. So he wants Jamie, his dumbass assistant,
this fucking part is so dumb.
to spray paint over it, but he wants him to, like, look the part. So he finds, like, four Mexican guys in an alley that are doing graffiti on a wall. And so he thinks, like, oh, if he looked like them, he would be able to, like, spray paint over this and nobody would bat an eye or whatever. So he dresses the guy up and, like, this the most, like, you know, stereotypical, like, 90s Mexican gangster guy thing with, like, the flannel shirt with the top button and the teardrop tattoo and the, you know, the bandana on the head and everything. And, you know, the joke is, you know, super white guy goes up to these, like, gangsters or whatever and tries
well,
to,
also
like,
just the implication that graffiti artists are gangsters is, yes. like, absurd in this day and age.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously, like, they had a like, several walls of just the most immaculate graffiti. They're obviously not some, like, random people that just
vandals.
Tag shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, these are very skilled artists.
Yes.
it's dumb to assume that they have some kind of gang affiliation.
And so Jamie goes undercover and walks up to them and says, like, hey, help us. We need help spraying over this thing. And then all the guys just beat the shit out of Jamie. And so Rob Schneider still says, like, okay, well, Jamie, you just go up there and spray over it. He goes up. He's standing on the billboard. And they're trying to throw the spray paint cans at him. We get this gag where he keeps getting hit in the head with spray paint cans until he falls off the billboard. But then the nanny, one of the dancer guys, shows up and he'll do it. But then the cops show up. Everyone gets arrested. They go to jail. Rob and his agent get out of jail. And they're like, okay, I'm going to talk to the Taiwanese guy. We're going to get the billboard taken down. And then, oh, what do you know? We're watching the news.
Oh, none of it matters. This is so dumb.
No, there's a bus crash and the ad's on the bus now. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
It's, that's the show. That's it. That's three. We don't ever have to talk about Real Rob again. Is this the worst one? Is this the worst thing we've watched on Painting the Stream in our, like, what, 20-something
episodes? I feel like Kindergarten Cop 2 was objectively worse, but it was more enjoyable.
That's the thing. It was a... We were not dreading watching Kindergarten Cop even after like a half hour.
Like I feel like Dolph Lundgren's character was kind of an enigma. Like he was like weird, like why are all these women so insanely attracted to this old guy?
Yeah.
But he's also really cool, so I kind of get it. But like Rob Schneider is just unbearable. Like the persona he's trying to give off here, like some cool movie star. It's just, it's not a fun show to watch. It was kind of like maybe torture is a word that I would use.
Well, his character is tremendously unlikable, and like I already had an extremely low opinion of Rob Schneider, but this was just like, not only is his character terrible and this is written terribly and this is just an objectively bad show, but you also get the sense that this is kind of how Rob Schneider views himself, is like, I'm gonna do a show about me being a hip, you know, LA comedian famous guy. And it's like, no man, you're not. You were barely famous in the 90s, you know.
Right.
Like you were in a couple movies and you're on some posters, but like he was a joke back then. Like when Deuce Bigelow came out, it wasn't like, oh man, Deuce Bigelow comes out Friday. Like
right.
It's not like I saw it in the theater, but it was like, this is probably gonna suck.
Right. At least like Curb Your Enthusiasm, I mean, Larry David, it's not about him being a famous guy. I feel like most people, if you saw Larry David on the street, probably wouldn't immediately recognize him. Like especially most people, like probably my age. Like this, it's not about him being famous. It's just it's Larry David's amazing writing and all these like really weird, awkward situations. Rob Schneider, this whole show is about him being an ex or a current star, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it wasn't like with Larry and Curb, it's obvious that he's not this glory hound because Larry was on so many seasons of Seinfeld as like, you know, half of the creative force behind that show. And he never inserted himself into it more than, like, I'm the voice of Steinbrenner or a hot dog vendor. You know,
well,
it was never about Larry.
He was the lawyer with the cape as well.
Oh, okay, all right. But I mean, you know what I mean. Like, out of all the minutes of Seinfeld, Larry was heard in like a tiny percentage of it. Whereas Schneider, I feel like Schneider probably thinks he's a big star. And it's very obvious in the way he's written this show and written his own character. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me like him even less. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, Kindergarten Cop was fucking terrible, for sure. It is just a terrible movie. But overall, I think this is just a fucking unbelievably terrible show, top to bottom. Yeah, I think this might be the worst thing we've watched. That's it for Real Rob. That is the end of that.
It's a lengthy episode for us.
It is. Like, we had more to say about Rob Schneider's show than we expected. So next week on Panning the Stream, we are going to be going old Hulu way again with a reality show from 2007 where one fella is looking for love. That fella is Bret Michaels, and he wants to find his Rock of Love on Rock of Love. We are going to watch Season 1, Episode 1, which is titled Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time.
Mm.
And we're going to watch the finale of Season 1, which, to clarify, it is not the reunion episode, which is the last listed one on Hulu. We are going to watch Season 1, Episode 11, The Rose and the Thorn, which is the one where they actually pick who the winner is. So don't watch the reunion. Watch Season 1, Episode 1, and Season 1, Episode 11 of Rock of Love on Hulu. So that'll be it for this week. None of us ever have to think about Real Rob ever again. So join us, and I want to thank Tom Monda for our theme song.
Thanks, Tom. That's my bro.
That's your brother. If you have any feedback, please email us at panningthestream@gmail.com. You can follow us and tweet us at panthestream.
At panthestream.
And like I said at the top of the show, if you want to support us, please go to panningthestream.com, and Anchor has its listener support feature now.
No pressure.
If you want to toss a couple bucks our way, if not, literally no consequence whatsoever. You don't have to worry about a damn thing. You're going to get the same content for free.
We're
going to keep going. Hey, when we commit, we commit. We have not missed a single week since we started. We've even done some bonus stuff. So you will keep getting Panning the Stream.
Yeah.
We are the best. Dan and Bianca here. Honey, no, I think you're the best.
Oh.
Bianca Reichert.
Oh, boy.
And I will see you next time on Panning the Stream.
Goodbye.
Bye, folks.